Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, we're going to be speaking to Rob DeWalt, speaking of the arts, and we're also going to be speaking to Tom Leach of the Palace Press. I'd like to welcome Gronk. He is an artist. He's been on the show many years ago, and he's back in Santa Fe at the Santa Fe Opera painting the sets for Griselda. And I'm actually, by virtue of the wonders of technology, I'm at the Santa Fe Opera right now looking at this set. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Good to be here. Welcome to the set for Griselda, the opera that opens July 16th here at the Santa Fe Opera House.
So this opera, Griselda, this is a Baroque opera, and you are painting the sets for it. How do you begin to conceive of the set? I'm sitting here in the opera looking at this thing, which is partway done. How do you start with the story, with the music?
I'm glad you referred to it as a thing, because I always refer to a lot of the objects that I make as things, because sometimes I'm never quite sure exactly what they are. The set came about with a phone call, Peter Sellers calls. We had done Anna Demar, an opera here at the Santa Fe Opera House about 5 years ago. And what he wants is an installation that just so happens to be a set. So here I come in to look at a completely white wall initially. The floor is white, all the walls are white. As I walked into the space, I thought, this is Cinerama, a movie that was made in the 50s that had this round kind of screen that kind of just immersed the viewer in the theater house. It was a big thing in the 50s. So when I came in here, it was like almost a white screen. And when asked to do this opera, of course, I get the music, I get the libretto, listen to the music, listen to the libretto, listen to all of the dynamics that happen beyond just the story of the opera, but the other things, Vivaldi's life, his relationships with other people. And so you just immerse yourself in the study of the piece itself. So I don't come in here with a blank mind and just say, what am I going to do? It's immediately to cover as much area as I can on the first few days, and then all of a sudden things start to make sense, or things that I was familiar with in the story of Griselda, which is about a woman with a lot of courage who stands up to a lot of pressure around her. And so it is a story of tenacity in many ways. So in a sense, I took things from different sources. The opera, of course, but when was it written? Originally, it was part of the stories of a series of stories called Decameron. That book was an early book of stories. And the last one is the story of Griselda. So I looked at a lot of medieval artwork, looked at the color palette. So in my piece, you'll see a lot of greens, a lot of reds. And I've been calling the green that I've been using Greenzelda, maybe a new color of sorts. And so that's kind of how it begins. There are things that seem to be tearing apart in this wall space. And because part of the story is a family that is being torn apart, Peter Sellers is going to be staging it as if it's New Mexico as well. So there's almost a landscape, but not just the familiar ways that we take a look at a landscape, perhaps also what's on the inside, the emotional connections between people, what's on the insides of people's bodies, our hearts, arteries, veins, intestines, and what's inside of the land are seeds, roots, pods, germination, things growing, things dying back, going into the land. So it's a combination of all of that taking place in, on the set that's being created for the opera.
Now, the story originally takes place in Sicily.
Right.
Is there any kind of Italian influence?
Well, it's a Baroque opera, and there is, in a sense, you take that notion, but with a director like Peter Sellers, it's going to be presented in the present. It's going to be, he takes certain things from the past, the classical element of the music, and doesn't touch that element of it. That'll ring true to what it was. But he modernizes it in many ways, hence calling in an artist who, comes in and has their own take on it. Now, I met with the costume designer, and I'll be meeting with the lighting designer, and so all the other components start to formulate on this. When Peter Sellers comes in, he'll actually get a chance to see the set and then strategically try to find a way how to connect it with the opera at hand. And so to answer your question, it's like, yeah, there is the bottom line that originally it was done a certain way, but we don't stay within that realm. We'll take it into the present. So this can actually be a shopping mall of sorts, and it may be an installation of a shopping mall.
Seriously?
Well, it could be. I mean, in an urban city, I don't know about Santa Fe, but in an urban city, you could see large-scale pieces that are reflective of what's happening inside of a mall. So perhaps that might have something. Because it is very architectural. Even though it has a kind of this very classical sense, there is still a modern sensibility, contemporary sensibility to the piece as well.
So when you work with the costume designer, you're on some level coordinating so that there's a sense of unity. What are the costumes like? Are they present day?
The costumes are also present day, and the color palette is quite similar. Even before I actually met the costume designer, I got to see some of the designs, and when we finally met, we just realized that a lot of the color palette that we were after were quite similar. Now, when I did Anna de Mar several years back, the costumes were one solid color. Most of them were just black. And I had a very complex floor where I painted the actual floor, because here at the Santa Fe Opera, the best seats are usually the ones that are above so that you could look down and see the entire set. But with this opera, it's going to be more of a solid color. And the costumes will have the color. So it'll be kind of the reverse of what it was previously. The last opera actually is going to Spain, 2012, has already gone to Lincoln Center in New York, the Boston Opera in Boston. So it has had a life after the Santa Fe premiere, and hopefully Griselda will enjoy that same kind of tour of different cities as well. So we'll see what happens with it.
When that happens, does the set go with it?
Yes, if it's the Peter Sellers production of the opera, the set goes with the production.
How did you start working with Peter Sellers?
Well, I've always enjoyed Peter's work. I saw Nixon in China, and I was at the Opera House. And when I left it, well, during the experience of it, either people booed or applauded. I was one of the people that was applauding the show, the opera. And I just went into the parking lot with a group of friends, and we were just jumping up and down, so excited that somebody from our generation had made something like that. And I always thought in the back of the mind, I would like to eventually meet this person that created that. Years go by, we sometimes saw each other in different cities, and he always said, one day we're going to work together. Well, I get a phone call, and he wants to do this play by Jean Genet called The Screens. And he wanted me to do all the screens for The Screens. Now, The Screens is going to take place in a warehouse. The screens are going to be these large paintings that float through the warehouse. The lighting crew follows the painting in with a backpack and lighting equipment. And wherever the painting ends up is where the next scene for the act begins. So he utilizes the entire warehouse for that production. We got along really well, enjoyed just the conversations, and the next thing he called, I'm doing Stravinsky's A Soldier's Tale. Essa-Pekka Solomon is going to be conducting the orchestra. Would you like to do something with that? And I said, sure. The next call was for Anna DeMar. I'm doing an opera at the Santa Fe Opera. Would you like to come and do that? And I said, yes. When he called to say, I'm doing Griselda at the Santa, he didn't even finish the word Santa Fe. I said, yes. So for me, it was, it's a interesting, if you learn from the experience, I realize that I usually say yes to it. If it's not a very good experience, well, then the word that you learn as a grown-up is the word no. But with Peter, it's usually yes.
Peter Sellers was on my program around that same time that you were mm-hmm. on the show and he was doing Anna DeMar. And I was struck by his utter effusiveness and enthusiasm and just crazy upfront creativity. Mm-hmm. What's it like to actually work together?
I think, you know, it's exciting to work under Peter because he gives you a thing called freedom, and usually freedom cannot be given, it has to be taken. So a lot of times people just don't know what to do when a director comes along and says, well, you have freedom to create. And sometimes people will panic about that. I think he's realized over this period of time that our collaboration works. It just seems to things click in many respects. And so I think, you know, it's for me, the creative and his knowledge of such a big range of things, and then also his political concerns. And his political concerns are genuine. And I think because, again, he comes from the same generation as my generation, and, you know, we grew up with maybe a political sensibility and viewpoint of the world, and we want to express that in whatever it is that we create. So I think, you know, it's always a learning experience. It's always a growth experience. So to me, it's always charged with excitement, and he just adds that. I think why perhaps opera singers enjoy working with him is because most of them have been trained in the Baroque way of singing very beautiful. Well, sometimes Peter will just throw the monkey wrench in that and tell them to go beyond that. He'll tell them to lie on the floor and sing your aria from the floor. So it takes them out of their comfort zone and expands themselves as an artist. And so for me, it's the same thing. From this experience, of course, I'm going to draw a lot of experiences and put it into other work that I'm going to be doing in the future. So I think for me, it's always, he's explosive. I like, you know, even the private moments when you go to a cafe, like, every morning when we were doing Anna DeMar, we would sneak off and go to the Aztec Cafe and also the Santa Fe Baking Company.
Thank you very much.
and have a cup of coffee and just chat. I mean, just, you know, talk about everything under the sun. So, you know, those things are like, you know, he's a friend, so it's great for him to be around. But he's also somebody that's always a world traveler and is going all over the place. And I tend to stay in Los Angeles quite a bit, but then I, you know, I do get out and get to come to beautiful places like Santa Fe.
A lot of visual artists are essentially working solo. They're making paintings or making sculptures in their studio. They're not necessarily working collaboratively. You're working collaboratively. Right. Have you done that since the get-go?
Well, I belonged to a group initially when I was a young person, and the group was called Asco, which in Spanish means nausea. And it was three other people initially, and then it grew into several other people. But we would do collaborations and do things on the street, perhaps take over a traffic island and have people eat a meal before the police came. Or I would tape somebody to a wall and call it an instant mural, where the mural didn't become an eyesore because it only was visible for as long as the person could stand up, which was usually not very long. So my earliest works were in collaboration with other people, more conceptually performance-driven. And in 1985, I was asked to do a show at MoCA, the Museum of Contemporary Art. And out of my mouth came the words, I want to do a painting the size of a football field, 300 feet by 30 feet high. The curator said, how long will that take you? Out of my mouth came the words, 2 weeks. I had never done anything like it before. Out of the curator's mouth came, what is it going to take to do that? And out of my mouth came the words, a lot of coffee and a lot of donuts. They asked, where would you like your donuts from? I opted for a place that was open 24 hours so that I can have my donuts continually come. And I did the piece. And all of a sudden, in many people's minds, I became a painter. So my work just started to develop, and I began to take seriously the notion of painting, because painting to me is also a discipline. It is not just coming in and winging a set or a large-scale wall, but it's coming with ideas and a sense that, you know, you want to fulfill this piece. Actually, the piece that's the set is 111 square feet across and 18 feet high. And the depth of the stage is 45 feet, and across is 42 feet. So it's a pretty large-scale painting that it's actually a figurative painting, because it's going to be activated by the singers. The singers are going to be inside of the painting for the full length of the opera. So, in a sense, they're the figurative element in the painting.
And then the lighting has to be a big part of it as well.
James Ingalls is the lighting designer, and he lit Anna de Mar, and he's lit several other productions by Peter. And, the lighting designer sculpts the painting. He makes it come forward, recede back into the space. A lighting cue can turn it all off or illuminate a certain area. So, and again, this is a sense of collaboration. I think, you know, the exciting part, it's kind of like when you do printmaking. You have a master printer, and the artist goes there and works with the master printer. And the same thing with this. It's, you know, you've got people that have been doing this for quite a long while, so you allow them to have their artistic input in it as well.
Gronk is the artist who is painting the sets for Griselda here at the Santa Fe Opera. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for asking, and hope to see everyone at Griselda, July 16th.
July 16th, and on from there through the end of the season, and you can go to santafeopera.org.
See ya.
See
Bye.
Ya. And I'd like to welcome to the program Rob DeWalt. He's with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome, Rob.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Tom Leach is with us. He is the director of the press at the Palace of the Governors. Welcome.
Hi, Mary Charlotte. Great to be back.
So you've got a terrific event coming up. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we really do. We have a visiting artist, David Lance Goines from Berkeley, the Bay Area. Mr. Goines is well-known nationally and internationally as a designer, printer of posters, a very characteristic look to his work.
And he is rather, I mean, for maybe for those who were not within the world of graphic design and posters, they haven't heard of him, but within that world, he's a giant.
He really is. People have been following his work, like I say, for about 40 years. In fact, Dover Publications has just done a 40-year retrospective book of his work. That we're having a book signing at the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium Saturday, tomorrow at 2 p.m.
What is the nature of his work? What kind of work? And he does a lot of posters.
Well, essentially posters, but he's a graphic designer, so he has done book covers and wine labels. Most people would instantly recognize his work on the Ravenswood wine label, the sort of Celtic-looking intertwined ravens in a circle. He was very intimately associated with Chez Panisse restaurant and cafe in Berkeley, and has done, I think, 38 years of posters for them, plus Alice Waters, all her cookbooks and other publications they put out.
So it's funny, somebody who's a fine artist is so associated with wine and food.
I think it's part of the aesthetic, quite honestly. As I said, these are have such a characteristic look, but hard to pin down at the same time. It's not exactly arts and craft. It's not exactly Art Deco, not exactly Art Nouveau, but elements of all of those.
And he's the author of a number of books, so he's going to be here this weekend.
Yes. Yeah, 2 p.m., New Mexico History Museum, giving a lecture.
Tomorrow.
A life in posters. And then following up at that, an exhibit of his work at Fisher Press and Gallery at 307 Camino Elire, right next to Desert Academy.
Excellent.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Ravenswood wines, you'll recognize some of the labels.
Yeah.
The artwork on some of the labels.
Yeah, it's quite beautiful. I've been looking at it at his website, which is goines.net, G-O-I-N-E-S.
A lot of them remind me of French film posters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he does film posters as well. The other thing I wanted to say about his work, which all of a sudden just popped out of my head, something you were saying, Rob, about his wine labels and so on.
Ravenswood?
In any case,
yeah.
Well, Tom Leach is with the press at the Palace of the Governors, which is always doing wonderful, in some ways. I love that place because it still has that old-fashioned printing press feel.
Very old-fashioned printing press. You know, we have a couple hundred years worth of print history in our collection. You know, honestly, that's why I was so excited about bringing Mr. Goines here, is because not only is he a designer, but he's a printer as well. So his work really reflects a printer's skill and knowledge and handwork that goes into it. It's not the same as looking at a computer and just picking colors off of a menu.
Right. He follows the process from the beginning to the very end, pretty much.
Yeah.
Except slapping it on the bottle. I'm sure he doesn't do that.
Right.
Well, Tom Leach, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Rob DeWalt.
Hola.
Hi. Hola.
Happy Earth Day. Happy Good Friday. What else am I missing?
I don't know. Happy Easter coming up.
Yes.
So, let's see. What's going on this weekend and beyond?
I don't know. There's all kinds of things going on. I keep looking at this ad that says that you can play tic-tac-toe with a live chicken at Buffalo Thunder Resort. So, you know, if nothing else, there's always playing tic-tac-toe with a live chicken. there's a lot of openings tonight. The first thing I want to talk about is the Sierra Leone's Refugee All-Stars are playing this weekend at the former pub and grill of the Santa Fe Brewing Company. It's at the same place, but they haven't figured out what to call it yet.
Right.
This group sort of rose out of the violent civil war in the late 90s, and all these musicians ended up in Guinea in a refugee camp, and they were, you know, sort of working with makeshift and beat up instruments and continued to make music while they were in exile. And it's this great story. There was a film made about them called Sierra Leone's Refugee All-Stars. And Southwest Roots Music is going to be presenting them at 8 p.m. Thursday, April 28th at the Santa Fe Brewing Company Pub and Grill over there off New Mexico 14.
And do we have a ticket giveaway, Marilyn LeBlanc?
Yeah, we do. Hey, The Sierra Leone Refugee All-Stars are going to be appearing at the Santa Fe Brewing Company.
As we just mentioned.
As you just mentioned. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Hector and I were engaged here in some serious
business. Oh, congratulations.
Business. Oh, no. Oh, well, gosh. I don't think his wife's going to like you. No, anyway. All right. So we have one pair of tickets to the opening night at the Brewing Company this Thursday night, 8 p.m., to the first callers at
4281382.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Mary Lynn.
Yeah, for anyone else who doesn't win tickets, you can get them at the Lenzig box office, 9881234, ticketsantafe.org.
You can get anything at the Lenzig box office.
Pretty much. Pretty much. In terms of tickets.
In terms of tickets, yeah. I mean, world peace, you can't cannot get.
Yeah. No, you can't get world peace.
No.
But if there were a play about world peace and it was coming to Santa Fe, you could probably get tickets at the Lensing.
So, Santa Fe Art Institute, lots of stuff. Let's see. Friday today from 10 to 11:30. So you can get up out of your car or out of your bed and head on over to the Santa Fe Art Institute. A free talk on artist resources offered by ArtSpire and the New York Foundation for the Arts. Eleanor Whitney, who is from that organization, ArtSpire, will present a program on fundraising and support programs that are available nationwide for artists in all disciplines and every single stage of their careers.
That includes filmmakers, by the way.
Uh-huh. That's right. Visual, performing, literary filmmakers are all encouraged to attend. So in these lean economic times, if you're trying to figure out how to fund your projects, head on over there.
Yeah. I mean, there's no such thing as free money, but this is a good way to sort of figure out how to get some backing, you know. What else is happening there?
Oh, there's free tickets, though.
They're free tickets.
There are free tickets.
There's
not
free
money.
And there's another free thing happening on Thursday the 28th, the Artist and Writer Residency Open Studio.
Ah, right.
On Thursday.
At Santa Fe Art Institute also.
Yeah. And then on Friday the 29th, there's environmental artist and activist Yves-André Laramée is going to be lecturing at Tipton Hall at 6 p.m. on Friday next week.
And those are all always very good and very interesting programs.
Yeah.
At the Santa Fe Art Institute, SFAI.org.
I used to live just a hop, skip, and a jump from the Art Institute, so I don't get over there as often as I used to. But I'm going to make an effort to get over there next week one of those lectures.
I got a note that this Saturday, tomorrow, from 4 to 6, there will be a reception at the Fisher Press. Oh, we talked about that Tom Leach, but also Thayer Carter will be in the press room in conjunction with David Lance Goins, and he's a local artist, terrific artist.
Sweet. There's tons of really great music happening this week. I don't know why everything seems to be happening sort of later in the week or in the weekend, but at 9 p.m. Thursday, High Mayhem Emerging Arts is presenting a night of music, but it's a very eclectic lineup. There's the Nakatani Gong Orchestra, featuring Tatsuya Nakatani, and he's got a five-piece sort of gong orchestra. Five-piece, but he's got 10 gongs, and he's designed some stands and some bows and mallets all by himself. Then there's Captain Ahab, who's just sort of this mix of sort of electro and disco and industrial, and it's all over the map, and it's fairly silly. They have songs like Girls Gone Wild and I Can't Believe It's Not Booty. and then also is Albuquerque's Yellow Crystal Star, who's actually Mark Billings, who's a great guitarist. And they're all performing Thursday the 28th, and there is a requested donation at the door.
Excellent.
You can go to highmayhem.org to find out more info.
I love the word High Mayhem.
Yeah. You what?
I like the name. I like that somebody named themselves High Mayhem.
Yeah. What else is going on? There's Serenata of Santa Fe is offering chamber works by Nielsen and Brahms and others, and there's also going to be some contemporary compositions. Let's see.
Here's one. Schola Cantorum of Santa... Oh, did I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's at the Scottish Rite Center at 3 p.m. on Sunday, which I believe is Easter, right?
Is Easter Sunday is, in fact, Easter.
Okay.
And I'm having ham.
And that would make sense, because it would follow Good Friday, which is today.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
And Good Saturday.
And great Saturday.
So, the Schola Cantorum of Santa Fe, Good Friday Reflections, Passio Domini, a Holy Week Gregorian chant only heard in monasteries and seminaries during the last 15 centuries, but now it's being heard in the beautiful main church of the Archdiocese Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe downtown. It's at Guadalupe Street and Agua Fria, and it's tonight at 7 o'clock. It's free, no tickets but required, but a donation will be accepted.
Cool.
That's nice.
Yeah. Hey, tonight at 5 p.m., Vivo Contemporary over at 725 Canyon Road is hosting a book arts event. I believe there's 9 artists. A few of them are from New Mexico, and then there's some from California, Utah, Arizona, and Colorado. So regional artists are going to be exhibiting their book art. And there's some pretty fun stuff. You know, the images that I've seen are pretty fantastic. And this is something that I've always wanted to do, but I just, you know, like all the free time I have. But anyway, there's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. at Vivo, and that's on view through May 10th. So go over there and check out some book art.
Excellent.
There's a lot of other openings that are happening.
I just wanted to say, first of all, the tickets are gone, ladies and gentlemen, which is good. And also, KSFR's own David Barsanti is going to be warming up the dance floor for the Sierra Leone Refugee All-Stars. Ooh. And he's going to be spinning Afro-Funk for about an hour.
Afro-Funk?
Yep.
For an hour. Ooh, Santa Fe Clay. It's a great story in today's Paso Tiempo about this exhibit. Figurines, it's a national invitational show. There's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m., and that's up through June 4th. I already talked about Vivo. James Sauer Gallery over there at 652 Canyon Road. Janet Vitovsky is her art glass, or Janice, I'm sorry, Vitovsky. Her art glass is going to be on view. The reception is 5 to 7 tonight, and that's up through May 17th. The Box Gallery over there in Paseo de Peralta. Configuring a Meadow, mixed media work by D.L. Stark. There's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m., and that's up through May 28th.
So, Melting Down is a novel by Harvey Stone. It's an environmental thriller based on, one, well-researched scientific data, and two, real-world geopolitical scenarios.
Ooh.
And there's going to be an event at Collected Works Bookstore tomorrow at 5 o'clock, presented by the Santa Fe Theater... Wait a minute. You know what? This is... Take it and run for a second.
Take
this,
it and run for
is,
a second.
This email doesn't make any sense.
All right, here's an interesting way to spend Good Friday. Spring Fling, a burlesque show with drag performers, Taffy Shalimar, Tiffany Starr, Trixie Treasures, and Madame Dubarry. 8:30 p.m. at the Silver Starlight Lounge over there at Rainbow Vision Santa Fe. That's at 500 Rodeo Road. You can call 428-7781 for ticket information. There is a cover charge for that. What else? American Buffalo. Ironweed Productions presents David Mamet's Tragicomedy at 8 p.m. at El Museo Cultural over there on Camino de la Familia, which is in the rail yard. And I'm trying to figure out if this can't be the first week. See, I've been out of town for a week, so I'm sort of out of the loop here. But if you call 660-2379, you can get information on tickets. And there's tons of this is the final weekend for The Wedding Singer also.
Ah, yes.
The Wedding Singer over there at Greer Garson Theater at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, formerly College of Santa Fe. Tickets available at guess where?
The Lindsay Box Office.
That's right. 988-1234, ticketsantafe.org. This is the final weekend, and this is a fun show.
So the Melting Down novel by Harvey Stone is being presented tonight at Collected Works Bookstore at 6 in the evening. So it's all about politics and the environment and stuff that is very pressing and of concern to all of us. And tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Shakespeare Birthday Celebration. Santa Fe Theater Guild presents selected readings from some of Shakespeare's most loved works at Collected Works Bookstore. Uh-huh. And then on Monday, the 25th, there is an evening of poetry with Lisa Gill and Raymond Zachary Ortiz. And that's at 6 in the evening. Gill is a wonderful poet. Have you ever seen her or heard her? She's amazing. And her book is, the book that they're talking about here is Caput Nili, How I Won the War and Lost My Taste for Oranges. And Raymond Zachary Ortiz, his book is We Had More to Say, Poems from the Pilgrimage Road.
Ah. Ooh, there's another opera breakfast lecture. We didn't talk about that yet, right?
That's on,
I believe that's Saturday. Yeah, that's Saturday. Tom Franks is going to be discussing Capriccio, part of a series in conjunction with the Met at the Lensic Season. That's at 9:30 a.m. at Collected Works Bookstore. These things are popular. They fill up fast. There's a small cover. If you call 988-4226, which is the Collected Works Bookstore number, you can find out more information. I wanted to mention another show that's happening at the Pub and Grill tonight, Fits in the Tantrums. So it's Soul-Tinged Pop and April Smith and the Great Picture Show. Is going to open, and that's at 7:30 p.m. at the Pub and Grill over there at 27 Fireplace off New Mexico 14. Tickets available, of course, at the Lenzig box office. If for some strange reason you don't have a Paso Tiempo in the back of your car or on your kitchen table and you want to know where to find shows that are happening at Pub and Grill, you can go to the Launchpad or the Sunshine Theater website, because the owner of those is also operating the Pub and Grill.
Ah, nice.
And there will be a section there called Other Performances, and if you scroll down, it'll have the list of the Pub and Grill shows and stuff like that.
And one more event at Collected Works Bookstore on the 27th. Barbara Rockman is presenting her poetry, and the new book is called Sting and Nest. So a lot of poetry this week, a lot of stuff at Collected Works Bookstore.
Here's something cool, the Seton Castle Tour. Remember the Seton Castle?
I've never been there.
Me neither. But there you can view the restoration efforts of Ernest Thomas Seton's residence. It's led by David L. Witt, who is the curator of the Seton Legacy Project. And let's see. That's 10 p.m. at 133 Seton Village Road at the bridge entry. And there's no charge for this, and you can call the Academy for more information. And again, that's Saturday at 10 a.m. Call 995-1860 for information on the tour.
And tomorrow at Garcia Street Books, Nate Downey is talking about his book at 2 o'clock, Harvest the Rain, How to Enrich Your Life by Seeing Every Storm as a Resource. It's a book on gardening and water harvesting and basically making your little tiny corner of the world into an ecological paradise.
If you don't get enough of Taffy Shalimar on Good Friday, Taffy is having a birthday bash over there at the Silver Starlight Lounge, a burlesque drag show, and a roast of Miss Taffy at 8:30 p.m. on Saturday night.
A taffy roast.
That's a taffy roast. Yum, yum.
Delicioso, sabroso, y nutritivo.
DJ Skits is going to be spinning at a dance party following the roast and drag show. If you call 428-7781, you can find more info on that.
Excellent.
Wow, it's like a drag-filled Easter weekend. That's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah.
As it should be.
You know what I thought? If I ever did drag, I would want a dress made entirely out of marshmallow peeps. Wouldn't that be cool?
Certainly at this time of year.
Yeah.
It would be exquisite.
I mean, it would just, I mean,
do you look
the
good
colors
in yellow?
Are gorgeous. I don't know. I don't really own anything yellow.
Yeah, that might not be your color.
No. The only thing in my wardrobe is a SpongeBob t-shirt.
Tomorrow, Saturday, the 23rd of April, from 7 to 10 at the El Dorado Hotel Courtyard Lounge on San Francisco Street, the Brazil Project is happening, and the Brazil Project with Bert Dalton and Patty Stevens, Milo Jaramillo, John Bartlett, and Frank Lito are having their CD release. So that's good stuff. They're all terrific musicians, and haven't heard the disc yet, but I'm guessing it's excellent. So tomorrow at the El Dorado Hotel, and actually there's another one, but it's already passed.
What hasn't passed is April in Paris.
Yay.
And again, this Sunday, Cabaret Review of French Tunes, featuring pianist Charles Tischner and, of course, Ron Dadu Romanofsky. Doors open at 3 p.m. The performance is at 4 over there at Vanessi, over there on West San Francisco Street. If you call 982-9966, you can get more information on that. And I'm pretty sure that they don't take checks for those shows. Remember that. Let's see, I already mentioned the wedding singer, right?
Yes.
Oh, Southwest Seminars lecture, Constructing the Cambrian, Origin of Animals by Douglas H. Irwin at 6 p.m. on Monday the 25th at Hotel Santa Fe. The Origin of Animals. Huh. That could be fascinating.
As opposed to the origin of species?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Joe Purdy, folk singer-songwriter, is going to be performing with the Milk Carton Kids. I just love that name. That's 7 p.m. Guess where? Pub and Grill. Guess where you can find tickets? It's 7 p.m. on Monday. You can get tickets at the Lenzig box office, ticketsantafe.org, 988-1234. There's a lot of great music in town this week. Ooh, this is a good one. I wrote about this in my Soundwaves column today. A Hawaiian reggae group. These blokes from Oahu called The Green, and you can kind of figure out what that means.
It means that today is Earth Day.
Yeah, yeah. But they're playing on Monday, the 25th, with Fortunate Youth, which is a Southern Cali kind of roots reggae band. Let's see, that's at 9 p.m. You can get advance tickets by going to CorazonSantaFe.com. You can also get tickets at the door. And I listened to these guys all day before yesterday, and they're pretty good.
Hawaiian reggae. Does it have a Hawaiian feel to it at all?
Basically, it's you know, they're from the island, and so it's reggae, but there are sort of hints of traditional Hawaiian music
instruments
in the background.
Cool.
Yeah, and he's got a great voice. Anyone who likes Black Uhuru is going to love The Green. That didn't come out right.
Green or no. The Lensic Performing Arts Center and National Geographic All Roads and Santa Fe Photographic Workshops presents Future Voices of New Mexico Awards Ceremony. And that is Thursday at 10 in the morning. They're going to gather for a screening and award events, which showcases the winners of photography and three-minute films by local students. You know, narratives, documentaries, comedies, mixed media, and all kinds of good things. So support your local community.
You know who's back? This is great. Brother E. Clayton West, a blues man who played in a very popular soul group in Santa Fe, is going to be performing at 7 p.m. Saturday the 23rd at Poor House at Milagro, which is at 139 West San Francisco Street.
Overlooking the plaza.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's at 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 26th. And then,
Is it the other, is it the other location?
He's got a lot of, no, that's at Orr House at Milagro on April 23rd.
Oh, Orr House at Milagro, never mind. Yeah. I was at the Orr House the other day and sitting outside and looking over the plaza, and it's nice to be up there. I haven't been there for a long time.
Yeah. No, it's nice. But I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know. I mean, I thought they were going to close or putting a new restaurant in there or something. I don't know. I never know what's going on there. Fourth annual Future Voices of New Mexico Awards Ceremony. Student showcase of three-minute films hosted by the Lensic Performing Arts Center.
Is that the one I just read?
I think so.
Okay.
Probably.
Just checking.
Yeah. You're always one step ahead of me.
We listen to each other so well.
What? What? Nacha Mendez has gigs all over town, but she's going to be playing on Easter Sunday at El Farol at 7 p.m. And I don't believe there's a cover for that.
Nice.
Happy Easter. Upper Crust Pizza, gospel and blues duo Eagle Star and Michael Combs are going to be performing also on Easter from 6 to 9 p.m. And there's no cover for that.
And every Friday night at the Lodge, starting around 9:30, DJ Sofrito spins salsa grooves and reggaeton and merengue and all kinds of good stuff. And he's a great DJ. It's a nice scene up there at the Lodge.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there, there's a new restaurant going in up there. And I think it's actually open.
Really?
And I want to say it's called Los Cuates. But don't quote me on that. But but the Lodge has a website. They also have a Facebook page. You can find out more information on the restaurant there. I'm going to go check it out soon, since it's in my work hood.
Yeah.
What else? Ooh, 27th Wednesday, The Big Bang, How Modern Culture Changed Everything in America. That's a broad topic. A lecture by Lois Rudnick at 6 p.m. at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum Education Annex on
Yay!
Grant Avenue.
Lois Rudnick is brilliant.
Yeah. And this
she's,
the big
and she's so accessible and she's so smart. Go, you have to go to that. I have to go to that. When is it?
It's Wednesday the 27th at 6 p.m. And you can get more information, I'm sure, on the Georgia O'Keeffe website and by calling 946-1039. Did we talk about the workshop, the weekly memoir writing workshops?
No.
From 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. also on Wednesday. It's a weekly workshop through May. It happens on Wednesdays, obviously, at La Posada de Santa Fe Resort and Spa over there on Palace Avenue. You can call 954-9668 to sign up. And here's something interesting regarding a memoir workshop. There's no charge, which is unusual.
Nice.
So writers, memoirists, budding memoirists, head over there on
Wednesday.
You
know what's interesting about the genre of memoir? You don't have to have had a very exciting, adventurous, amazing life in order to write an exciting, adventurous, amazing memoir about
yeah.
it. Take David Sedaris.
Yeah, for example.
He just writes about being a third grader and just stuff like that, and it's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's life is interesting, but putting it down on paper and keeping it interesting is...
It's very, very difficult, and most of them you would not necessarily...
Yeah. But that's why they have workshops on memoir writing, right?
Indeed.
Bill Hearn continues his reign of La Fiesta Lounge at La Fonda, also on Wednesday night, the 27th, from 7:30 to 11 p.m. If you'd like yourself some country, some honky-tonk, head over there on Wednesday night.
That's What We Like Ourselves. And I'm going to give people the heads up a week in advance, not this Saturday, but the next one. Mickey Cruz is going to be at the Lodge in Santa Fe. And he's a wonderful musician. He's Nicaraguan. He was orphaned. He grew up on the streets and learned to be a musician. And he kind of put together cumbia and reggae, and he calls it cumbege, and he's great.
And it's a huge ensemble. It's like 12 or 13 people that he's bringing with him.
Is that right?
It's this orchestra and entourage is what I understand.
Orchestra and entourage. How do you get into an entourage?
What do you have to do
to be in an entourage?
I don't know. I'm not a card-carrying member of one, so I wouldn't
know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we'll talk about it again next week, but that's Saturday the 30th of April at the Lodge. And what else? We've just got 3 minutes left.
3 minutes? What's going on in Movie Land?
Oh, Movie Land. Let's find out.
Let's check it out. You know, there's Robert Pattinson's starring in Water for Elephants is at Regal Stadium 14. He's going from vampires to dashing fellow. He still looks like he's moping a lot from what I've seen.
A moping dashing fellow.
Yes, he's the mope. But that is opening at Regal Stadium 14. Potiche is opening at the Screen at Santa Fe. And Laurel Gladden reviewed it in today's Pasta Tiempo.
What's that about?
It is about Catherine Deneuve plays the sheltered middle-aged wife of an umbrella factory of an umbrella factory executive. And you'll have to read the review.
All right, then.
Oh, also, Jonathan Richards reviewed Queen of the Sun, What Are the Bees Telling Us? And that documentary is opening at CCA Cinematheque.
The fact that the bees are vanishing?
The bees are vanishing. Nobody knows why. It's very scary.
Yeah, it is very scary.
Yeah,
indeed.
People think, oh, it's bees. But it's like, oh, do you like your food? Do you like food? Because if you like food that grows out of the ground, you're going to want to have bees around.
Yeah, and, you know, I think somebody was talking on this very program about there are places where the bees have been. It's either some kind of climate change or fungus or environmental manifestation, pollution, whatever. There are places where they're in. I think it was in China. There are people going around and hand pollinating.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
No, I know.
Using this sort of feathery thing and moving pollen from one place to another.
That should send a message.
It should send a message. Hey, the CCA Cinematheque, let's not forget then. The Leopard opens on Thursday. Well, that was yesterday. It runs through the weekend, and it's called one of the greatest movies of all time, thanks to Martin Scorsese's restoration. Let's see, Burt Lancaster, Claudia Cardinale, Alan Delon star in this Luchino Visconti story of an aristocratic Italian family thrust into a period of turbulent social change. That's a nice thing to see on the big screen. And lots of Earth Day stuff at the CCA and the Do Something Real Film Festival, REEL, also at the CCA. So lots of good stuff. You can go to ccasantafe.org and for the screen, check out their stuff. They've got a ton of movies as well. And they are at thescreensf.com. Hey, there's
Sweet.
The music.
That's the music.
Guess it's time to go.
It is. Have a good Friday.
Thank you.
Awesome, great Saturday and a really gnarly, bitchin' Sunday.
Yeah. You
right.
too. That's
okay.
Such a sweet way of putting it on Easter. Rob DeWalt is with the Pasta Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's with us just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We are streaming live on the web at ksfr.org. Podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team with the fabulously awesome Bill Dupuy and Dan Garrity and many other great news volunteers. And after that, Jazz a la Carta with Ricardo Perez, Helga Ancona, and salsa music, Latin music, Brazilian music, jazz, all kinds of good stuff. Keep your radio dial tuned to KSFR, Santa Fe's only public radio station. Hasta la vista.
Bye.
Ciao.